In our first lesson this morning, we heard the story from the book of Acts about the death of Stephen. Stephen was the first deacon in the church, and he was also its first martyr. He was the first, but he wasn't the last. I've talked before about some of the books that my grandmother had about religion whenever I was a child, and how the book on heaven and hell was particularly frightening to me, and the artwork that it contained whenever I was about 4 or 5 years old. But probably second on the list of scary books that she had was her book about the martyrs of the early church. And these had pictures of people who had given their lives for the faith in wondrous ways, but the depictions were a little frightening. A gentleman with probably about 152 arrows stuck in him, and that was probably the most sanitary of the ones that I could talk about, but they basically were detailing the way that people gave their lives for the faith. And while frightening to a four-year-old, from the blood of martyrs came the growth of the early church. And to this very day, no growth of any movement or any religion rivals that of the growth of Christianity in its first few centuries of existence. And the selfless sacrifice of the martyrs is often given credit through the Holy Spirit for the reason why that occurred. Martyrdom, however, is something that really doesn't seem to mean a whole lot to us today. We have the gift of living in a place and a time where we can come to church on a Sunday morning and probably none of us worried about giving our lives for the faith this morning, or imagining that somehow we would have to sacrifice our lives in order to come and worship as Christians. That's a gift of living in our country and in this place and time. However, there are places this morning where people are risking their lives to come and worship together as Christians. So martyrdom is important today. So I just wanted to reflect on that a little bit, and then I'm going to try to tie it into Mother's Day, so we'll see if I can make that connection. Jean Donovan was born in 1953 in Westport, Connecticut, and she was born into an upper-middle-class family, and it was kind of the white picket fence, typical childhood of the 1950s. She attended college and got a master's degree after that, and during her time in college, she became interested in missionary work a little bit, but she didn't pursue that right away. She actually took a consulting job with Arthur Anderson and became engaged to a young doctor in the area. But after a lot of soul searching, she came to the decision that she wasn't called to married life and she wasn't called to be a consultant. And she really felt that the Holy Spirit was asking her to become a missionary, to take care of other people in a difficult place in the world. During her time in college, she met a missionary who was working in El Salvador. And after talking and praying with this priest for a while, she decided that El Salvador was where God was asking her to go. Now, El Salvador in 1977 was a very, very dangerous place to be. They were in the midst of a brutal civil war, and she was going there not just to spread the faith, but to provide food and shelter and medical care for the refugees and the victims of that brutal conflict. El Salvador in 1977 was probably not unlike Syria of today. The situation in El Salvador in the late 70s rapidly became more dangerous, especially for Christians who were speaking up for justice and speaking against the murder and injustice that had become commonplace in that country. In March of 1980, Archbishop Oscar Romero, who was the Catholic Bishop of San Salvador, was assassinated because he dared to raise his voice against the injustices of the Salvadoran government. At that point, foreign aid workers and missionaries were told that they should leave the country for their own safety. However, the need that brought them to El Salvador remained. A few weeks before her death, Jean Donovan wrote the following in a letter to a friend in the United States. "The Peace Corps left today, and my heart sank low. The danger is extreme, and they were right to leave. Now I must assess my own position because I'm really not up for suicide. Several times I have decided to leave El Salvador. I almost could, except for the children, the poor, bruised victims of this horrible insanity. Who would care for them? Whose heart could be so staunch as to favor the reasonable thing in a sea of their tears and loneliness? Not mine, dear friend, not mine. 2 weeks after writing this, at the age of 27, Jean Donovan was kidnapped, beaten, and murdered by members of the Salvadoran military because of her work and because of her faith, along with three other missionary women. She was martyred because she loved others more than she loved herself. Does that sound familiar to any of us this morning? True martyrdom is true because it follows in the footsteps of Jesus, the one who loved us more than he loved himself. It's not about glory or praise or honor or gain in this life or in the next. It's nothing other than one of the highest human expressions of God's kind of love, selfless and self-emptying. But what if Jean Donovan had chosen a different fork in the road of her life? What if history and choice had taken her down a different path? What if she had married Dr. Douglas Cable and started a family? Maybe she would have found out that she couldn't carry a child safely, and maybe in this alternate history they adopted two children, maybe from El Salvador. Would she have understood what it was to be a martyr? What if she had decided not to be married at all, but chose to live a single life and took care of neighbors and others who were around her? Would she have understood what it was to be a martyr? I think the answer is yes. Today we celebrate Mother's Day, but I think in a very real way we could retitle this Martyr's Day, because mothers understand a whole lot about saying no to themselves and saying yes to others out of love. I credit my own mother for not killing me on several occasions when I was an arrogant and self-absorbed teenager. She is a saint, and I've thanked her profusely for her patience and for her love. And I've had the honor of watching Jolene be an excellent mother to Kayla and Joey, my own children. But today, I want to expand our notion of motherhood even more broadly than that, beyond our typical ideas of what a mother is and beyond the typical Mother's Day cards that we might find at Walmart. You see, motherhood is bigger than biology, and it's bigger than something that we might put on a census form. It is the gentle and the nurturing. It is the selfless and self-sacrificing core at the very heart of God. I hate to disappoint anybody out there this morning, but God is actually not an old man with a white beard, in spite of what Michelangelo has painted. God is as far above gender as calculus is to an ant. And I suspect that it is the motherly aspect of God's nature that inspired the plan of our redemption through Christ. Who else but a mother could think that we were worth saving? So as we celebrate Mother's Day today, I want us to think broadly about who we celebrate and who we give thanks to. We thank our mothers here on earth and those that are in heaven, but we also thank all of the women in our lives that have been nurturing and caring, who have said no to themselves and yes to us, that our life might be better and be more filled with love. Motherhood is a big concept, and those who have taken care of elderly mothers know that sometimes the child becomes the mother of the mother. And so I want us to hold all of those ideas of motherhood in our hearts and our minds today, as we give thanks broadly where thanks is deserved. If you have suffered the pain of childbirth and the different and longer lasting pain of raising children, happy Mother's Day to you today. If you have reached out to another in nurturing love and compassion, even though it cost you something of your own hopes and your own desires, happy Mother's Day to you today. You have said no to yourself and emptied your heart selflessly in imitation of the God who made you. Then happy Mother's Day. And may the God who has begun this good work in you bring it to completion.